This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up 1 Peter with Shepherd the Flock and a Roaring Lion. Then we plow on into 2 Peter with Introduction, An Entrance into the Eternal Kingdom, and By Way of Reminder. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he had I been one of the disciples, those 70 or 72 that Jesus sent out in preparation for his arrival in various towns, the prospect of going out with nothing, not supposed to carry anything, any provision whatsoever, the possibility of being rejected by entire towns, maybe accepted by others, and the possibility that, as he says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, wouldn't have been very attractive. But those 70 come back, and they're rejoicing that even the demons submitted to them in the name of Jesus. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson on those 72 being sent by Jesus. Then we'll talk about what we should value and why with Dr. John Ferguson. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome.
Thank you.
Why did Jesus send out the 70?
Yes, this is Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 9, he sent out the 12 apostles, gave them power and authority over all demons to heal diseases and to preach God's kingdom and heal the sick. That was chapter 9. Then in chapter 10, it begins, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others. Now, these were not the apostles, these were disciples, and sent them out in pairs to go ahead of him to every town and place where he intended to go. Now, this kind of reminds us of the time that he was speaking with the Samaritan woman at the well, that after the disciples came and wondered why he was speaking to a woman, Jesus spent a couple of days in that town explaining further about the kingdom of God, the forgiveness of sins, and heaven. And so this shows that Jesus was not only using the apostles, but also disciples who were often around him. We know that a number of them followed Jesus as disciples because after Judas died, remember they chose Matthias from among this group of disciples who had been with Jesus a lot. And so the disciples were another group besides the apostles that were given the privilege of preaching the kingdom of God and also healing people of their sicknesses.
What did he say to them as he sent them?
He used two metaphors. The first one was the farming metaphor. There is much grain to be harvested, he said, but there are only a few workers. So ask the owner of the crop to send out workers to bring in his grain. And so that's the first metaphor. The second one he used, go, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. And so the world is considered the wolf that wants to persecute and hurt Christians. And so those are the two metaphors. On the one hand, there's a harvest out there for example, we spent 4 years driving through Illinois every Sunday and saw farmers planting corn, the corn growing, and harvesting it. And there's no doubt that when the harvest time came, they used large machinery in order to harvest the corn. And that's what God is talking about, that the disciples were about to do, to go into the world and harvest those people who were going to come to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit.
What does it mean I send you out as lambs among wolves?
What it means is that the church is a lamb surrounded by the world of wolves. And remember, David had to fight off animals like wolves, bears, and a lion to defend the sheep. And where we are fortunate is that we have a shepherd who also helps us to defend against the wolves, which are the unbelievers attempting to persecute the Christians and to stop them from telling the message of the gospel.
Why did he command his disciples to take nothing with them?
Well, he told them, don't carry a purse, a bag, or shoes. Don't stop to greet anyone on the way. When you go into a house, say first, may there be peace in this house. And if a man of peace lives there, which means a believer, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will come back to you. Stay in that house and eat and drink whatever they have, since a worker earns his pay. Don't move from house to house to go to another house that maybe you think has better food or better lodging. When you go into any town and the people welcome you, eat what they serve you. Heal the sick that are there and tell people God's kingdom has come close to you. Our missionaries throughout the world, when they go to a land of people who have never heard the word of God, they often end up eating food that they may not be accustomed to. But they are to eat that food, thank God for the food, and not go to another town that they think has better food. In other words, the pastors of a church are to be content with the church that God has sent them to in order to be fed, to be taken care of, and not have to look to other churches where you might get more pay, better housing, more food, etc. Be content with where God has called you as a pastor, or even in your vocation as a layman, be content with what God has given you.
So talk a little bit more about what they were to do if a town received them and what they were to do if a town rejected them.
If they go into a town and the people don't welcome you, verse 10, go out on its streets and say, the dust of your town has clung to our feet. We're wiping it off in protest against you. But realize, God's kingdom has come near you. I tell you, on that day, it will be easier for Sodom than for that town. And of course, the disciples are speaking to those who reject them because of the message that they are bringing to them about the kingdom of God and the sacrifices of Christ for their sins. For someone to reject that means they don't want to have anything to do with God's plan. And therefore, on the last day, it will be easier for Sodom, that's Sodom and Gomorrah, than it will be for that town that rejected the disciples sent out to tell them about the wonderful kingdom of God.
Why did Jesus then go on to pronounce woes against various cities?
He said, woe to Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Now, we know that was true because remember, Jonah was told to go to the town of Nineveh. He didn't want to go there because they were Gentiles and he did not like Gentiles. So he got swallowed by a large fish, got spit up on the beach, went to the town of Nineveh, and within 3 days, the town repented of its sins. And that is, in a sense, what Jesus is saying, that the town should repent. And if they had seen the miracles done in Tyre and Sidon, then they would long ago have repented. In the judgment, it will be easier for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And now, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to heaven? No, you will go down to hell if you reject the message of the 72 disciples.
He said, he who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. What does that mean?
This reminds us of the Mount of Transfiguration. What does God the Father say about Jesus? This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. In other words, if you hear Jesus, you're also hearing God the Father. And whoever rejects you is actually rejecting me. But anyone who rejects me also rejects him who sent me, who is God the Father. So when the disciples speak the message of the kingdom of God, the forgiveness of sins, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, those who reject that message are really rejecting the words of Jesus and therefore also rejecting God the Father, who sent Jesus into the world to redeem the world.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus sending out the 72. We'll get the 72's report upon returning next. What does it mean to inwardly digest God's word? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery tells his story of finding confessional Lutheranism to be the most scripturally faithful theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Where is God's mission? God's mission is everywhere. Yes, it's far away, but it's also very near. It's as near as your congregation in school, your neighborhood, your family and friends, even as near as your home. Wherever you are, God's mission is in that place. Through his mission, Christ is bringing forgiveness, life, and salvation to people everywhere, even here, right where you are. God's mission here. Learn more at lcms.org/national mission.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota has big city anemones with small town feel, civil freedom, and the natural beauty of its namesake waterfalls. It is also home to Christ Lutheran Church, where the living water, Christ himself, flows. Located near I-90 and I-229, Christ Lutheran offers divine service with Holy Communion each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Learn more about this confessional liturgical parish at ChristSiouxFalls.org. Christ Lutheran Church, building upon Christ.
At Memoria Press, the Simply Classical curriculum is specifically designed for students with significant learning challenges. This complete program includes everything you need for a school, self-contained classroom, tutoring, or homeschool to make a classical Christian education accessible for any child. To learn more, visit us at simplyclassical.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Simply Classical, a beautiful education for any child.
Ministry by Mail is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Lutheran servicemen and women receive a welcome packet with devotional resources, including portals of prayer. You can enroll a new member at lcms.org/armedforces, lcms.org/armedforces. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus sending out the 72 with Pastor Tom Baker. Tom, when the 72 return, what report do they give?
Well, they were delighted. They said, even the demons do what we tell them in your name. In other words, they were able to help people who were demon-possessed. And that was a miracle that Jesus had done. And the disciples were delighted that they had that authority also. Now, Jesus says to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. You know, I've given you the power to step on snakes and scorpions and to trample on all the enemy's power, and nothing will hurt you. Now, that's really something that we know happened with an apostle who went to an island and a snake bit him, and the people thought he would die immediately, but he did not. So they really listened to the message that he had for them. And that was a promise that God gave them, that even being able to step on a snake or a scorpion, this will not hurt you. And so they were joyous that they were able to do these things, these miracles, but God wanted them to know that that was because he had promised them that such would be the case in doing the miracles and not getting hurt by scorpions or snakes.
So how did Jesus respond to their report?
He responded saying, okay, I understand that you are joyous over your ability to take out demons, but do not be glad that the spirits obey you, but really be glad that your names are written in heaven. And so that's a big point that the Enduring Faith Sunday School material makes, that the disciples were to be glad that they were saved. That was more important, that they were able to do miracles. And so this applies not only to pastors, but also to lay people, all who have some kind of vocation. That means they are called by God to be fathers or sons or grandchildren or employees or employers or whatever work they do in the world. And we should do it with integrity, following the will of God and being honest with what we do. But we must be most happy with the fact that our names are written in heaven. And that occurred for many of us at our holy baptism, and for others when they heard the word of God from pastors or missionaries about being saved by grace through faith, not on account of works, so that nobody can boast about saving themselves.
So how does Jesus send the Sunday school children today?
Jesus goes to the Sunday school children, and one of the things we did for vacation Bible school, for example, which occurred for like 2 weeks during the summer, we would assign the children to talk to other children in the neighborhood and to bring them to vacation Bible school, because we not only had wonderful lessons to teach them, we also would have games and a free meal. And so it was not at all unusual that the number of children in vacation Bible school would double the number of children we had on a Sunday morning in Sunday school. And that was because the children were like the 72 who were sent out by the church to bring others into the mission field to hear the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ and their salvation of being saved by grace through faith, not on account of their works.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is, a lot of times, we don't recognize that the vocation to which God has called us is related to Jesus Christ and our faith. We think that only when we go to church should we think that. But no, that should be thought of during the whole week. And wherever God has called us, He had a purpose in doing it, and we should follow that purpose. The gospel is that God in His mercy gives me that purpose of eternal life and uses my vocations to meet the needs of the world, as found in the second part of the commandments, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself."
Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called The Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
And thank you very much.
When we come back, what should we value and why? We'll answer those questions with Dr. John Ferguson, author of the chapter in the Issues Etc. book of the month, Prepared with a Reason.
The richness of the Word of God ought to determine our prayers, not the poverty of our heart. So writes Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his classic work, Psalms, the Prayer Book of the Bible. To learn more about what it means for the richness of God's Word to determine the depth of our prayers rather than the poverty of our hearts, pick up your copy of the May issue of the Lutheran Witness, In Jesus' Name. To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Sanctifying your exercise routine with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Answers for Life. This is Ken Ham, author of the powerful book, One Blood, One Race, The Biblical Answer to Racism. Our culture is very confused about the value of human life. They claim to value everyone, but then celebrate the murder of unborn children, promote racist ideas, and support euthanasia. It's also inconsistent. But we can be consistent when we start with God's Word. God has created each person in His image, fearfully and wonderfully. And since we are all descended from Adam and Eve, we're all one race. Now, we live in a sin-cursed world, so every person is a sinner. That explains the hatred, intolerance, and evil humans inflict on each other. And the answer to that, that's the same for every person. Salvation through Jesus Christ.
Subscribe to receive free daily email insights from Ken Ham when you visit us at AnswersRadio.com. And listen to this program again at AnswersRadio.com.